Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 1 through 13. The sermon will come primarily from verse 13, but I want you to see the context. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, you'll find Bibles in the chair pockets around you. So 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So please bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to gather together in your presence. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit among us, and for the work that he can uniquely do in each of our lives. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through the songs that are sung, through the prayers that are offered, through the meditation of people's hearts, through the proclamation of your word. And I pray, Father, that you would set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, and that you would be exalted among us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I guess that ever since Eden, we have carried the mistaken notion that each of us is the center of the universe. We don't often speak that arrogance, but it underlies much of the way we approach life and deal with other people. Because of that attitude, we exaggerate our problems, minimize our sins, and all but ignore God. That is, unless things are going badly for us in life, then we either blame God for the problems, or treat him like a genie in a bottle who's obligated to help us. Yet in verse 13 of this passage we read, in regard to temptation, we who always see ourselves as the center of the universe are presented with a stark and humbling reality. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And that's not what we want to hear. Because that truth robs us of another one of the excuses we use to justify our sins. See, if our temptations were like other people's temptations, well, then of course we'd be able to say no. But what we tell ourselves is that our temptations are different. They're much stronger than those faced by other people. Nobody would be able to stand up under what we've gone through. Any person would buckle under that kind of pressure. So our giving in to temptation was sort of justified. It was almost like we didn't have a choice. Sin just forced itself on us. But what does God say? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Yeah, but I'm just naturally weaker in that area of my life. Maybe other people have the strength to resist, but I have a particular weakness in that area. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. You see, while it is true that we all have different points of vulnerability to temptation based on a host of environmental and maybe even genetic factors, it simply is not true that our temptations are any different in those points of vulnerability from those faced by other people with the same points of vulnerability. I was reading about a counseling session one time that Bruce Wilkinson, a Christian speaker, had with a young man who came up to him one night after he had finished speaking on the subject of sexual purity. Bruce could see that the young guy was under a lot of conviction, and sure enough, he began to open up to Bruce about how he had always struggled with sexual sin. He talked about the fact that he was living with a woman he wasn't married to, and that he'd lived with several different women over the past 10 years, and that even when he was living with those women, he hadn't been faithful to them. After he'd finished speaking, Bruce said to him, "You know what? You must really struggle a lot more in that area of life than most men do." And the young guy looked at him and he said, "You're right. I really have a hard time in that area. I guess I have a stronger sex drive than most people. You probably have hormones racing through you like a freight train." Bruce agreed. "Plus, I imagine your temptations are a lot stronger than those other guys face." "Yeah, you're right," the young guy answered again. "I didn't think you'd understand. I mean, sex is just really a weakness for me. It's like I'm a chick magnet or something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I've got more hormones than other people or those pheromones that attract women. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I got it bad." Then Bruce said to him, "Well, let me ask you something. Suppose there was some way to bring your sex drive down to normal. Not to eliminate it or anything, just to put you on the same level playing field with all the rest of us. Suppose there was some way for you to start experiencing the same kinds of temptations that other guys experience. I mean, not the super temptations like you face, just normal temptations. What would you do then?" "What do you mean?" the young guy asked. "I mean, what would you do about your sexual sin? Would you stop living with this woman and wait until you were married to have sex?" "Well, sure," the young guy agreed. "I mean, at least I'd try." Of course, the young man was convinced that no such magic formula existed. So Bruce opened his Bible and handed it to the young man. "I want you to read this for me out loud," he said as he pointed to the verse. And so the young man began. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." "Hold on a second," Bruce interrupted. Would you read that to me again?" "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." "You know what, David? You see Tom over there? Tom has the very same temptations you have. He's young, he's good looking, he has a girlfriend, he even lives in a co-ed dorm at college. The only difference is, Tom said no, and you said yes. And see, Alex, same hormones racing through his bloodstream that you have racing through yours. The only difference is, he said no, and you said yes. And you see Jim over there, and Steve, and Chad, and Matthew, same hormones rushing through their bloodstreams, walking testosterone machines. Same kinds of temptations you face. The only difference is they're saying no and you're saying yes. You see what Bruce was wanting the young man to see? That he was responsible for the choices he had made to give in to temptation. He can't blame it on his supercharged hormones or his pheromones or the fact that he's a chick magnet. He can't keep believing that his temptations are somehow extraordinary. The temptations he had faced were common, and he had the power to say no. He just needed to accept responsibility for the fact that he had not said no, And he needed to accept responsibility for saying no in the future. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. All teenagers and singles are going to be tempted in the area of sexual sin. All men with demanding jobs are going to be tempted to give more time to their jobs and less time to their wives and children. All wives are going to be tempted to feel like their husbands are taking them for granted. All children are going to be tempted to disobey their parents. When we hit our toes on the coffee table, we're going to be tempted to use profanity. When we hear negative things about other people, we're going to be tempted to gossip. When we wake up on Sunday morning and we didn't get much sleep the night before and it's raining outside, we're going to be tempted not to go to church. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. The only difference is some say no and some say yes. And remember, every time you say yes makes it easier to say yes the next time, until finally the walls of your will fall and you begin to feel more like a victim of your sins instead of a victor over your sins. Proverbs chapter 25, 28 reads, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." That's a description of someone who has lost all sense of self-control because of repeated sin. He's like a city broken down without walls. The purpose of walls are to protect the people from the enemy. But if the walls are broken down, then the enemy comes in whenever he wants and pillages. And Proverbs is telling us that's what we become like when we keep giving into sin. The enemy just comes in wherever he, whenever he wants and pillages us. Then Paul shares a second truth about temptation that's supposed to encourage us in our struggles against sin in verse 13. Not only are the temptations we face common to man, not extraordinary, as we try to convince ourselves, but Paul also tells us, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." God actually limits the temptations that you and I face as Christians. We never have to fear that we're going to be tempted beyond our ability to say no to the temptation. I want you to remember the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Did you know God is actually able to do that? That He's actually able to limit temptation in your life? And in fact, Paul's telling us here that God does do that. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. It isn't that God supernaturally increases your strength when you face a temptation. Instead, He works on the temptation side of the equation. Let me give you an example. If you've ever lifted weights or seen guys lift weights, you know that they try to keep increasing the amount of weight they lift in order to build muscle. And most guys like to test themselves to see what the maximum is they can lift at least one time. So if a guy can regularly bench press 200 pounds at least four times, he might see if he could lift 220 pounds just once. And let's just go ahead and say that's the maximum weight he can bench, 220 pounds. Well, one day he gets to the gym, and the guy who's spotting for him is helping him put on the weights for his maximum lift. And the last time he lifted 220 clean. So the guy who's spotting for him decides, you know, I bet he could really lift 240. And so he adds an extra 10 pounds to each side of the bar. But in reality, 220 is all this guy can lift. He can't lift 240 yet. He can't lift 230. So what's going to happen when he tries to lift 240 pounds? He's going to fail. And in fact, if he didn't have a spotter, he could be in some real trouble. Well, God's telling us here that he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. If we're capable of lifting 220 pounds of temptation, then God won't put 225 pounds on the bar. The weight might be less than 220 in the temptation we face, but God has promised us it won't be more than 220 because that's the maximum we're capable of lifting. And of course, that promise applies to all of our temptations. Each one will be uniquely limited based on each unique situation. Again, using our weightlifting analogy, a guy who can bench press 220 might be able to do 360 on the leg press, but he's only able to do 110 on the bicep curl. The weights are going to be varying depending on the muscles being used and how well developed those muscles are. And the same truth applies to temptation. There are areas in your life where temptation doesn't have that much power. You can press 400 pounds of temptation in that area with ease. There are other areas in your life where 60 pounds of temptation is going to be pushing it. Regardless, whatever your limit is, whatever area of your life, in any given situation, God's Word says He will not allow you to be tempted beyond the point where you are able to say no. So if the temptation is there, it's there only because God knows you have the strength to handle it. Now that does not mean you will handle it. You can still choose to give in to the temptation. But if you do give in, it's because you chose to, not because you didn't have the strength to say no. Then Paul shares with us a third encouraging truth in regard to temptation in this verse. First, he said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Then he said that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And then finally, he adds that with the temptation, God will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This is really an interesting statement because the word translated "way of escape" in this verse literally refers to a secret mountain pass out of a box canyon. Did any of you ever see one of those old westerns where the good guys were being chased by the bad guys and the bad guys drove the good guys into a box canyon? A box canyon is just what it sounds like. You're coming in from one direction. To your left, there's a rock wall. To your right, there's a rock wall. And directly ahead of you, there's a rock wall. It looks like the good guys are about to get shot full of holes. And then at the last minute, one of them notices a sliver of a trail in one of the canyon walls. It's only 4 or 5 feet wide, and it slopes upward and eventually outward from the canyon. The slope's a little steep and rocky, but the horses can make it. And so at the last minute, the good guys gallop up the mountain pass to safety. Well, Paul's telling us that God provides us with those kind of escape routes out of the box canyons of temptations we face. God makes the way of escape so that we don't have to give in to the temptation. A phone call, giving you an opportunity to do something other than what you had been planning to do. A Christian friend who just happens to be at a party you go to. Not enough money with you to get that thing you've just got to have. A Bible study or a sermon that makes you wonder if the pastor's got some private eye tailing you. Over and over again, in a multitude of ways, God provides us with secret mountain passes out of the box canyons of our temptations. Of course, here as before, whether we choose to take advantage of those ways of escape or not is up to us. So in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God is letting us know that we do not have to be victimized by temptation. All the temptations we face are common to man. They're not extraordinary. And God is faithful in the midst of those temptations. He never allows us to be tempted beyond our strength to say no. And He always provides a way of escape. Therefore, my beloved, Paul goes on to tell us in the very next verse, flee from idolatry. Now, why does he say that? Flee from idolatry. It's because, you see, that's what temptation feeds on. Our desire to be like God without God. Our desire to have God's place, to be gods of our own lives, to decide for ourselves what's right and wrong. And that is not the way to become like God. You don't become like God by disobeying God. You don't find the life that God wants for you by disobeying God. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 14, God has a similar warning about temptation. We're told there, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Temptation doesn't want you to believe that. Temptation wants you to trust in yourself more than you trust in God. And the end of that choice, God warns us, is death. Let's pray. We as followers of Jesus are called to be a holy people. People who are different from the people in the world. And we have been given a power, the very indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that people in the world don't have. And so you have the strength to choose what's right. You have the strength to do what's right. Those temptations you face are faced by other people. And God has promised He won't allow you to be tempted beyond the point that you're able to say no. And so if you are facing the temptation, you do have the ability to say no. And God will also even provide a way of escape so you can stand up under the temptation. All of the excuses have been eliminated. Now we have to accept responsibility for our lives. We have to accept responsibility for the choices we make. We can't blame other people. We can't blame our hormones. We can't blame circumstances. We have the ability to say no or yes to those temptations. And so ask God to help you be honest with yourself. Ask Him to help you to stop making excuses. To accept responsibility. And thank God that you will never face a temptation that you don't have the ability to say no to. And that in all the temptations you face, there will be a way out if you choose it. While you're talking with God about this, and maybe you need to be confessing right now and asking His forgiveness for the temptations that you keep going, that you keep giving into. While you're doing that, maybe you're here today and you haven't yet come to the place of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. He is the only way by which we can have a relationship with God. He is the only hope we have of eternal life. He is the only means through which we can find forgiveness and cleansing. And so if you're with us today and you're not sure if you've ever truly come to the place of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are aware that you've sinned, that you stand in need of forgiveness, that the means of that forgiveness is Jesus, then the only thing to do is choose. Will you turn to Him as your Savior and Lord, or will you not? And so if this morning you would like to make that choice of turning to Him as Savior and Lord, this is your chance. All you need to do is raise your hand. I'll pray the words aloud. You can repeat them silently to God right where you are. All you need to do is raise your hand. Okay, for you who raised your hand, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to repeat the words silently to the Lord, you can do that. Hopefully the words will be expressions of your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned, that I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that He was raised from the dead the third day, I trust in Him as my Savior and my Lord. I want to turn from my life of sin and walk in line with your truth. Please come into my life and make me new. Father, I want to thank you for the one who raised her hand this morning, and I pray, Father, that you would move in her life, to draw her to yourself, to bring her the joy of salvation and the cleansing and wholeness that only comes through Christ. And Father, I pray that all of us who are followers of Jesus would remember that we have received that cleansing and that wholeness, not so we can continue in sin, but so that we might be a holy people. Help us, Father, to make the choices to do what's right, to allow you to be the God of our lives instead of assuming lordship ourselves. And Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Apart from Him, there is no hope. There is no life. And all these things we offer to you and ask in His name. Amen.
If you would like to know more about us, you can find us on the web at wpbcmd.org and on Facebook at White Plains Baptist Church 1978.